4. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles back on that table there. Or if you have your own, or if you have an app, swipe over to 1 Corinthians 4. And last week, we talked about, we looked in the letter of 2 Peter about how Jesus' death puts death to death. So that was more about how more focusing on Jesus' death. This week, because of Easter, we're focusing a lot more on Jesus' resurrection. What does Jesus' resurrection mean, and why does that matter for us? So I'm just going to read verses 7 through 12 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in this world. We thank you for all that you tell us in your word. Lord, in these few short verses that we have, there is such a depth of knowledge to grab a hold of. I pray that your Holy Spirit will allow all of us to know this, myself included, of course. Lord, that we would all come away knowing more about you. We would all come away understanding more of these words of life that you have to tell us today. Lord, may we surrender to your truth. And may your truth be what's proclaimed here, Lord. If anything that's said that's outside of that, let's just all forget about it. And may your truth go out into our lives and into the lives of others that we know. We pray in your name. Amen. Oh, so 2 Corinthians. Oh, everyone's like, how come, what Bible is that? It's this new translation. It's from America. A few errors. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. But you guys are probably all there already now. If you're not there, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians. Fun fact. thanks for that. So 2 Corinthians 4, yeah. Those words that I read, I promise, were 2 Corinthians 4. So we're at least I read the right words, even though the reference wasn't right there. So last week, we were talking a little bit about death in this world. And if you spend really any time looking at this world, you're going to see tragedy. Turn on any news broadcast, and in 30 minutes, you'll have enough tragedy to last you a lifetime. From a story about parents who neglected their children, to a story about the war in Ukraine, stories about death, and death in all its kinds of forms, all the ways that this world ought not to be. Then after that one news program, you'll have enough stories about how death has worked and wormed its way into our lives, and tomorrow you're going to get more, and the day after that you're going to get more, and the day after that you're going to get more. And it's not even just in the news, just from scrolling around, just from passing by headlines in a grocery store. In our life, there is always death. Death in all its forms. And of course, it's not just an out there thing. We carry it as well. It's not just something out there. It's in here, and it's in here. We've been held under the crashing waves of death and darkness by others, and we've done the same to other people as well. Surely this is not what life is supposed to be like. The deaths that have wormed its way into our world, we carry it. And there are things that we alone are responsible for, things that can't be undone, words that can't be unspoken, thoughts that can't be unthought. And there are also the same kind of things that other people have done to us. And then, of course, for all of us, at the end of our life, there's death, capital letters kind of death. And we're always carrying this with us. Things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Parents are supposed to care for the children. Wars aren't supposed to break out. There's a glaringly obvious hole in our experience of life. And if you've ever been around the church at all, you always hear about this thing, eternal life. Eternal life. In fact, I read it. John 3:16 talks about eternal life. Eternal life, often just meaning kind of life after death, is what often churches use that for, or at least maybe that's how it's assumed. But not all life is worth extending forever, right? There are parts of my life I don't want more of. I would like those things to die. Because if this is life, if what we have now is life, why would anyone want that to go on forever? Eternal life doesn't sound like a good thing if that's indeed what it is. It sounds like a horrible thing. But eternal life in the way that Jesus talks about, in the way that the Bible really does talk about, is not just more of this life. It's a different kind of life. And what is missing so much in this life is love. Real, tangible love. The reason that Jesus, the Bible, and churches go on about this eternal life thing is because it's a different kind of life altogether, where things are the way that they're supposed to be. And in all that we carry, in all that overwhelms us, and in the death that we all face, what we really need is love. The Beatles may be right about that. And then after death, what we really need is love. Not just life, like any kind of life. We need love after death. Love after someone who takes their frustration out on us. Love after being plunged into this world's tragedies for 30 minutes. Love when we come to the end of our life, when we're powerless and when we're alone. Christians believe that what we carry will be what is transformed. What we carry will be what's transformed. We carry death, and that will be transformed to life because of the love of Christ. Because of Jesus' love, he died. Because of Jesus' love, he rose again. Because of Jesus' love, we get to be connected to this and receive love after death. And that's what Easter is all about. So we're going to talk about some of the ways that we carry all of this with us. We'll look into how we experience this transformation from death to life and the purpose behind it. And then we'll talk about some of the practical things for us about what the resurrection means. And really, even though I only read like five verses there, we're just going to focus on two verses. So 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11. Those are really the two verses we're going to look a lot at. So if you have your Bible or an app or whatever, just keep it open because we're going to refer to it a bunch. And if you have questions during this at all, if you go to that site, redeemermcr.com/ask, you can anonymously put questions in and we'll deal with them after the sermon. So verses 10 and 11, I'm just going to read those again. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. There's a lot of always in there. Always is one of those like absolute kind of terms, like you always do this, I always do that. Paul here, who's the author of this letter, is always using always. There is not a time where death isn't being carried. It's always. That's a burden that we humans bear. But we're going to look a little more closely as to what's being carried here. It's not just death generically. Paul's quite specific. Verse 10 says we're carrying not our death, not our sin, but Jesus' death. What does that mean? To always be carrying around Jesus' death. That's not like what a church might always say, you were always carrying Jesus' life, but a church should equally say we're also always carrying Jesus' death. It sounds a bit like a downer, doesn't it? For those who follow Jesus, Jesus' death put death to death, put our sin to death, put our shame to death, put our guilt to death, our brokenness, all of it, our disorder, all the chaos we create, all of that is in the tomb, never to rise again. Always, this is us, because we carry the death of Christ with us. We're always carrying this with us. We'll get to why in a moment, so we'll just kind of park that question. Well, why are we doing that? We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 11 gives us a different kind of always. We're always being given over to death. We who are alive are always being given over to death. So we're carrying Jesus' death, but there's a way in how we experience this. We have Jesus' death at work in us, which is a good thing because it puts all the bad things to death. And also we're being given over to death. That means the death of death is true in us completely, full stop, yes. And the way that that is working itself out in our present moment is we are being given over to death. That's all the dark parts of your heart, being given over to die so that new life can come from what was previously dead. The dark corners of your soul, all the parts where you don't want other people knowing about, that's the stuff that is being put to death. That often doesn't feel good. Being put to death, not like a positive experience, right, in itself. I mean, just ask Jesus, not great. Ask anyone who's died. Not was that fun? No, it wasn't fun, but it was actually good. We've got this kung fu grip in these places of our hearts, these dark corners we don't want anyone to know about. We don't really want to know about it. And we don't want really those things dragged out into the light. It hurts when those things are taken from us, but it's good for us because we don't need those parts clouding our hearts. God is removing the bad, even as we try and desperately cling to it. And when that happens, that process of that happening, we might think God's being like really mean to us, that he's forgotten us, or he's kind of just kind of, I don't know, being mean. But what he's doing is really kind of treating us like a toddler. You know, when they get a hold of something, they have this like otherworldly strength. Like they just have like somehow those little fingers. I don't even know how they do it. And when it's something that they ought not to have, that strength grows exponentially, kind of like the Grinch's heart, like growing like twice. All of a sudden that toddler has a knife or, you know, something they ought not to have. And all of a sudden, like, I can't get it out of their hand. That's exactly what we're like. The darker, the more scarier, the more horrible it is, the more stronger we cling to that. Now, of course, as you're prying that knife from your toddler's hand, that's a good thing. Your toddler doesn't understand that. Like, they're going to throw a tantrum. They're not going to like that. They're going to think you're being mean to them. But you're actually doing something very good. Thankfully, God removes those things from us, even as we respond in our own little tantrums. So always there is death for those who follow Jesus. We carry his death, and then there's our own experience of being given over to death. So there are these two kind of dynamics going on. And in one hand, if we carry around Jesus' death is done for. It has no power over us, has no real hold over us. Death becomes secondary as far as the control that we have over it. Death for Christians is not rising again, complete once for all because of Jesus' death on the cross. But then on the other hand, we're being given over to death so that this love after death will continue to work its way through our whole body, through our whole life. How we experience this love after death is not instantaneous, which would be great. We would have no problems. We'd just be perfect and just kind of flutter off into the ether. That's not how it is. It's ongoing, and we have to be patient with it. Now, that doesn't really sound great. Because, like, I mean, I understand that it is great, but it doesn't sound like a great experience of life, of being given over to death always. Like, always being given over to death? If I was to end there and be like, ah, isn't it great to be a Christian? Happy Easter. All right, see you guys next week. Enjoy the scavenger hunt. You'd be like, oh, gosh, I guess I'll eat some food. I mean, God drowned these sorrows somehow. But I think we'll maybe be all, rightly, we would all be miffed if we didn't get to the reason why this is actually good news for us. So otherwise, let's not stay as those ignorant toddlers who are responding in a tantrum because a knife's been taken away from our hands. Let's get a bit to the reason behind it. So always there is death. Why? Why is that always a thing? The reason is so, and Paul says it two times here, the reason is so that life will be revealed in these lives that are always carrying around death. The reason is to experience love after death. What we carry will be transformed. We carry death, and it will be transformed to life because of the love of Christ. Let's look at verse 10 where that comes up. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that is like, this is Paul saying, here's the reason for it, here's the purpose for it, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Jesus' life revealed in our body. Maybe a better word for this is like unleashed, that word revealed. Other translations might say like made manifest or something like that. It's unleashed in our bodies. The real resurrection in our real lives. Not some kind of weird disembodied spiritual state. In our bodies, in the kind of everyday practical stuff. As we raise our hands in worship or as we use them to do the washing up. That same kind of resurrection power in us. Now this new life of Jesus, this unstoppable force of love is alive and active in our bodies. This is now, if you follow Jesus. More than anything else, this is what defines you. This is what makes more you, you. You can be more yourself when Jesus' power is working through you. As one early church father said, the glory of God is man fully alive. That's completely true. But before we get too triumphalistic about that, too kind of overly victorious about this, we get the next verse. We're always carrying around death. So we, those who have like Jesus' resurrection in us, are given over to death. Well, why? Why is that? Well, verse 11 gives the same answer. So that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So that his life might be unleashed in us. Even as these bodies are decaying. Sin-ridden, growing old kind of body. Jesus' life being unleashed means the same power through which Jesus rose from the dead is at work in you. Like, that's really true. That sounds almost kind of like, is that borderline heretical? Like, am I like too much like God? Like, that's true. We who have Jesus' resurrection in them are given over to death. Well, why is that? The same answer. Because of Jesus' life being unleashed in our bodies. Death reigns in many places in this world. With Jesus' life unleashed, we get to see love reign instead. We get to be a part of God remaking this world, where people who haven't really heard of Jesus, where they get to hear. Where people who haven't really read God's words before, where they get to read them for the first time. Where people who don't understand God's love for them, where they get to understand. We get to invite everyone to this really kind of big tent kind of party, where all are experiencing nothing less than the love of God himself in all parts of their lives. That's what we get to do as a church. There is love after death, and this is it. Life is revealed, life is unleashed, once and for all, forever, and also in our experience as we go about our day. Now, the only way this can be true is if Jesus actually did rise again. More than an idea, more than theatrics, more than like a nice story, but if he actually did it. If he didn't, then we always carry around death with us, and that's the end of the story, and that's it, and we just carry around death. But if he did rise again, then we always carry around death with us. Yes, we get that. There is tragedy in the human story. But then for those who follow them, even that death that we carry around, that gets transformed. It's different. And death doesn't stay with us because there is love after death for all who are in Christ. And that's why we get hyped up about Easter. And for a Christian, every day is Easter Sunday. Not just every Sunday, every single day. We get to live this out every single day. So maybe often the tragedies, the deaths, the suffering we experience or see other people experience, that can feel purposeless sometimes. But if these two verses are true, a Christian not only has a purpose in the little deaths in our lives, but there is a purpose in our final ultimate death. So let's look a little bit about what the resurrection means then. Like, what does that actually mean by looking at these two verses? There's four things here. What the resurrection means. According to these verses, the first thing is our suffering has a purpose. We are being given over so that something better will come. The love that has taken away our sin, taken away our guilt, taken away our shame, is a love we were more fully experienced. There's more room for love because he's taken the death out of the way. There is love after death. And the suffering you've gone through yourself with Jesus and his resurrection, it need not be meaningless. What Jesus does is take the bad and transform it to good. That's what he does all the time. Now, some of you know the story of my father. We don't have time to get into the whole thing right now. I've not had a great relationship with my father, but what I've experienced is that Jesus, as he heals those wounds, Jesus becomes bigger. He becomes better. And I get to know more of Jesus, and I get to know him in a way that's different because of that pain and woundedness that I bring to him. If I didn't have some kind of death to bring to him, I wouldn't know him in the way that I know him. Without Jesus, I can't really find meaning there with my dad. It's kind of meaningless, kind of purposeless. With Jesus, always with me, I get to bring that pain to him, and through that, he reveals his life to me, always. I mean, the resolution of a film only becomes meaningful after you've watched all the rest. You could get the gist of a film in a little two-minute trailer. Most trailers, like, tell the whole story of the film. If that's true, then why do we sit for 2 hours watching this thing? Right? Like, because meaning comes on the other side of all that tension. It's something that matters more because you've lived through those 2 hours and you get that resolution at the end. The last chord of a pop song is often the very same chord that you first started with. Very first chord, same as the last chord. The last chord means something a lot different than the very first chord because of all the tension that came through it. With Jesus' love after death, our suffering has a purpose. Just like the tension that we might find in a film or a song, there's a purpose to it. So we have a purpose. We also have a place. When we're going through difficult times, we have a place to put those difficulties. Otherwise, what do we do with them? We carry them around always. That's what Paul says. Where do we put them? We don't have to sort it out ourselves. We certainly don't have to keep calm and carry on and just kind of keep our head down and do the things that we normally do. We carry around the death of Jesus always. So when those thoughts of where we don't measure up come in, we have a place to put them. We give them to Jesus. A power beyond positive self-talk. Our own suffering has a place, but when we bring pain to others, we have a place for that as well. We aren't innocent victims in this chaos of life, right? We know that. And that penalty we bear and what we add to all of this, it has its own place in the tomb of death, never to rise again. With Jesus, there is love after death, and our suffering has a purpose, and it has a place. But then there's this other thing I find very interesting, that our suffering is the context. That it is in our death that Jesus' life may also be revealed. The context for Jesus revealing his life is our death, is our sins, is our brokenness, is all the bad parts of us that we refuse to believe are really there. That's where Jesus is at work. God loves to work in our brokenness. Do you see how important it is to be aware of our own brokenness, to be aware of kind of where we don't measure up, where we give safe harbor to death? Because that's exactly where Jesus is at work. One of the major themes of this book is how God works in our brokenness, not how God works in our power or our strength or anything, it's how God works through weak and kind of dumb people. If that's true, then that means we get to be honest very quickly with where we don't measure up. We can just say, oh, I'm not very good at that. Oh, I messed that up. I'm sorry. We can have short accounts with each other and with God. We don't have to harbor resentment if we kind of believe this. We can put our lives on display, and our real lives, not the ones that we kind of make up for everybody, especially on a Sunday morning where, oh, we're okay, everybody's okay. But our actual lives can be on display. And actually, when that's true, if we're able to actually be ourselves, that means we can actually belong. If you belong and your only belonging is through a false self you've created, you still feel like people don't know you because you're not really yourself being part of that group. But if you belong and you're honest with who you are and you still belong, that's a deeper level of family that we get to experience. That's what the Bible talks about with the church. If we get to be our true selves and God is at work in our weakness, that means also we get to be a little bit more risky for the gospel in our daily lives. Our suffering, our lack of faith, that's where God works. So why not take a step of faith? It actually doesn't matter, really, if you fail. You'll be fine the next day. Why not talk to that work colleague? Why not invite the neighbor over? And when we do this, we get to be honest with how Jesus' love after death has affected us. We get to experience that. Now lastly, maybe most significantly, death is not the end. For the Christian, it is not death to die. You know, notice how often Paul uses the word body, even in those two verses. Our bodies will rise again because it's not just like a purely spiritual, away from the physical kind of thing. Like Jesus' new body, we get one too. And I think that's great news. I would love a new body. All joking about negative body image aside, it's good news because our bodies are riddled with death, as our hearts are. And just like when we follow Jesus, we get a new heart. And one day we will get this new body altogether. Death is not the end. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, so we will be. The way this happens is because we place our trust with Jesus, we get to be united to him. We're connected like a marriage, but a marriage is like a smaller version of what we get connected with Jesus. It's like being united to your spouse, but in a more deeper way, a more binding way. We're united to Jesus in his death, united to him in his new life. And God gives us a practice and an image of this. This is what baptism is all about. It's one of the people we've baptized over the years. If you're a Christian, you've been baptized, and you can look back to your own baptism. When water covered you, that was a symbol of death being covered over you. Getting baptized does not mean being held under the water and never being brought up, right? That's just called drowning somebody. Without Jesus' life, that's what we all are. We have all been drowned. No, it's coming up out of the water. That's a symbol of what Jesus' life brings. A symbol of being united to Jesus in his new life. Out of death, into new life. As with Jesus, so it goes with us. Now, if you follow Jesus, you've been baptized. It's important to look back to your own baptism and think about this. Do you remember what has been symbolized there? Being united to Jesus, and if Jesus is united to you, he's united to you always. He's not going anywhere. He is connected with you in all circumstances. When you mess up horribly, and maybe when you've done a half-decent job, he's always there. Now, if you haven't yet been baptized, and be considering it, maybe now is the time to think about it. Like, if you follow him, then get baptized. If you don't follow him, don't get baptized. It's very simple. It's kind of like getting married to someone. You don't know them 100%, and you won't for as long as you live because another human being, and they're infinitely complex, especially women. Men, not so much. But when you get married, you know enough. You know enough to say, I'm in. For my whole life, I'm in. You get it completely. Now, you don't know that person 100%, but you know them enough. And if you haven't yet been baptized, I wonder, maybe you know enough to be able to be in. If so, then talk to me. We can go over what the Bible says about baptism and see if that is something that that works for you. Now, for those of us who have been baptized, that means those who follow Jesus, what we get is the Lord's Supper. To take the Lord's Supper and not be baptized is kind of get the Christian life a little bit the wrong way around. It's kind of like to have all the benefits of being married, but never really have like a wedding ceremony, never have like an official kind of marriage. If you believe, you get baptized. Then after that, you take the Lord's Supper. Taking the Lord's Supper without baptism is just kind of not really how the Bible talks about how we go about the Christian life. So if you are a Christian, which means you've been baptized, the Lord's Supper is for you. Now, if you're in the process of seeking baptism, that's fine. Like, but please at least kind of be in the process of figuring this baptism thing out. The reason is the Lord's Supper is an ongoing kind of practice. We do this every single week at Redeemer. Baptism is a one-time thing. The Lord's Supper is an ongoing thing. It's a continual reminder of what your baptism was all about. So if you haven't been baptized, then this can't really remind you of your baptism. There should be enough under chairs hanging about. Wait, did people... Oh, right. We'll get there in the end. If you really love somebody, you can share them. No. Is everyone okay? Good stuff. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity to contemplate Jesus' death and to celebrate his resurrection. Talk about that death and life aspect that we see in these verses and that we experience in our lives. As we eat and drink, let's have in mind the deaths that we carry. Deaths that maybe people have put on us and deaths that we have put on other people. And let's also have in mind the new life that's unleashed for us in Jesus through his death and resurrection, now and also when we die. So the bread is a symbol of Christ's body, his body given over to death so that our deaths